This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
But it is much better to come to work on a Saturday after a win. It just feels like the world is in a better place after a White Sox win. And that was the case yesterday here at Wright Field. A thrilling home win in the opener in the 2026 season. Fantastic day at the ballpark. A day later than originally anticipated, but still all the better. It might have been for the best when you consider how difficult the White Sox opening game road trip was, in which they went 1-5, and they looked absolutely baffled on Wednesday against Sandy Alcantara and the Miami Marlins, who threw Alcantara threw his second career Maddox against the White Sox on Wednesday of this week, getaway day. We knew, though, prior to that game that the White Sox home opener had been postponed, originally scheduled for Thursday due to the weather forecast. White Sox chose to postpone that one to Friday. Great move, as the weather cooperated nicely yesterday afternoon. It was a little bit chilly, but still, most importantly, dry here at the ballpark, and it was a good day all around. I will note, 1:10 first pitch today. Right now it is raining, but I've looked ahead at the forecast, and it looks as though, according to what I've seen, that rain is expected to stop in about the next 30 to 45 minutes, which would theoretically put us in play to be right on time for 1:10 today. So I'll obviously keep you apprised of what's going on here at Wright Field throughout the morning, but we'll officially start our pregame coverage at 12:30 today. And again, first pitch is scheduled for 1:10 when the weather is expected to clear up after this early morning rain right now. All right, so let's get after it. Let's get things going. I will recap yesterday's game for you. Again, a 5-4 win for the White Sox, and it started out with the White Sox doing something that has been a mission of Will Venable all season long, and that is putting extra aggression on the opposition. Chase Meidroth led things off with a walk. Munetaka Murakami reached base with a single. And Miguel Vargas then, well, he had a nice hustle down the line to force Dylan Cease to make a play, which resulted in the White Sox first run.
Swing and a ground ball to first. Meidroth's going to hold as Guerrero will flip to Cease, but it's off his glove. Meidroth to the plate. He will score. That was a discombobulated play as Guerrero had to flip it, and Dylan was running toward the foul pole. He had to look back to try to catch that throw.
Great hustle by Miguel Vargas. Great heads-up running by Chase Meidroth to be alert and ready to break as soon as the ball did get away from Dylan Cease, who was covering on the play. And I will say, initially early, I did like the approach by the White Sox. They saw a lot of pitches from Dylan Cease, who was coming off an absolutely dominant debut for the Blue Jays, in which he actually set a Toronto club record, 12 strikeouts in a starter's opening debut for the team. So Cease, we know what he's capable of here in Chicago. Obviously, we've seen it firsthand. He was the runner-up in the Cy Young voting for a period during his time with the White Sox. So we know what he's capable of. The White Sox were they took some pitches. They did what they had to do yesterday to ensure that they got Cease out of the ballgame earlier than needed, which was important because, again, you don't want to let Dylan Cease roll, because once he does get rolling, it can get away from you quickly. The White Sox saw some pitches. They forced Dylan Cease to go deep into counts, and that allowed them to chase him after 4 1/3. And one critical hit was Austin Hayes, who came through with a big two RBI single in the bottom of the third.
3-2. A swing and a base hit. That's going to score two. Here comes Vargas. Montgomery is in. Hayes with a solid two-run single out into left center. Sox lead 3-1.
3-1, and you know what? I failed to mention this because I wanted to get to the runs, but what I should have noted was that Grant Taylor opened this game as the opener for the White Sox, so he got the first home start of the season, and he was dominant. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, clean inning, struck out 1, no hits, no walks. Great start by Grant Taylor, taking the ball and doing exactly what Will Venable hoped he would do. It was so effective, in fact, that Will Venable has gone back to the well for a second straight day. Grant Taylor is scheduled to be the opener today as well. And it served Sean Burke well, because Sean Burke would come on in relief as the bulk man yesterday for Grant Taylor. And he ended up pitching 6 strong innings, only allowed 1 earned run. It was actually the first couple batters in this game, which both doubled off of Sean Burke. That was really the only damage that was done off of Sean Burke yesterday. I will note Tristan Peters made a heck of an effort in right field. The very first batter that Sean Burke faced was Addison Barger. He ended up doubling, and it was a double because Tristan Peters made a hell of an effort as he, in right field, he actually got his glove to the ball. And he had the ball in his glove, but when he slammed into the wall, the ball ended up coming loose and Barger would go on to double. But Peters made a heck of an effort to actually prevent the ball from leaving the ballpark with a home run. Barger doubled. He would come around to score on Alejandro Kirk's double, but it was a nice effort by Tristan Peters, who you will hear from later in the segment because he was the hero of yesterday's game. But all in all, the Blue Jays were only able to get that one run off of Sean Burke yesterday, as he was excellent. Again, 6 innings, 1 earned run in the bulk man role. Jordan Leisure, though, unfortunately, would come on in the 8th inning. He could not, though, keep the lead, as he ultimately allowed a 2-run shot to Andrés Giménez, the Blue Jays shortstop and 9-hitter, and that tied the game up at 3 apiece, which forced us into extras when the Blue Jays were trying to push across their ghost runner. I will give credit to Sir Anthony Dominguez. He did a really nice job of doing his best to try and prevent the runner from scoring. Unfortunately, Miguel Vargas could not make a clean throw to Munetaka Murakami, who actually came off the bag on this play.
3-2 coming. Swing and a ground ball to third. Charged by Vargas. And the out recorded at first. Good stretch. No, save. Murakami pulled his foot off first base. He was stretching toward third as Snyder scored on that play. So it's 4-3 Toronto, and we're just waiting for confirmation from New York.
And we did receive confirmation that Murakami's foot did come off the bag. It was a nice stretch, nice effort by Murakami. Obviously, he's still getting comfortable at first base, as he was primarily a third baseman in Japan. So that's something he'll have to work on. It wasn't a perfect throw by any means from Vargas either. Nevertheless, you know, I do think a more veteran first baseman who's played the position for longer probably hangs onto the bag, or maybe comes off with the throw and maybe reaches to try and tag the runner on the play. Nevertheless, I was happy that Miguel Vargas was able to make amends for not a perfect throw in the bottom of the 10th when he ended up scoring the tying run in this game. And interesting here, because Derek Hill came on as a pinch runner in the 8th inning, I believe, for Andrew Benintendi. And Derek Hill would come around to hit in the 10th inning in an interesting situation, because Tyler Heineman, who is the Blue Jays' backup catcher, was thrust into the game because of injury to Alejandro Kirk just moments before Derek Hill would lay down a critical bunt.
And he bunts. It's a fair ball picked up by Heineman. Bad throw to first. Gets away, and Vargas will score. Hill will end up at second. Here's the irony. Vargas wasn't running. So all Guerrero had to do is make a catch, and the game would not have been tied.
High, high baseball IQ play there by Derek Hill, laying down the bunt with a cold catcher coming off the bench, having sat all day through 10 innings and coming up with a good decision. Derek Hill does get down the line very quickly and to lay down the bunt and force Tyler Heineman to make a throw in that situation was a great idea. And ultimately, I think Hill would have been safe. And you heard Len mention the irony that Miguel Vargas wasn't running. And it was a shrewd move by Miguel Vargas not to be running, because had he been running towards home plate, there's no doubt in my mind that Heineman would have just tagged him out. He would have run right into the game ending out had Vargas been going straight for home plate, which in that situation, I think the initial reaction by a lot of runners who aren't thinking the game and watching what they're seeing on the field, the initial thought is, I need to score the game-tying run. There's two outs in this game. And yet, Vargas shrewdly recognized that that was not the play. And then Heineman was not able to deliver a good throw to Vladimir Guerrero. And the ball then getting away from him allowed Vargas to come around and score the tying run, which set up Tristan Peters to be the hero of the day.
Peters hooks a base hit into right. Hill coming around third. Here's the throw by Sanchez. It's late. White Sox win. And they're going to mob Tristan Peters out in shallow left.
Great scene yesterday afternoon here at Wright Field as the White Sox win in walk-off fashion in 10, 5-4. And Tristan Peters played the role of hero last night. His first home opener ever, as he finally has had a chance to make an opening day roster. And it was his first chance to start a season at home. And what a way to have your first home opener as a professional ball player, to win it with a walk-off winner. Was great. Great scene. And you heard Len say that they were mobbing him. The celebration spilled into left field. And Peters was not just mobbed by his teammates, but he actually had his jersey ripped off of him as they were celebrating the win. I had a chance to catch up with Tristan Peters this morning inside the Sox clubhouse and talk to him a little bit about yesterday's scene. How's it feel to start your White Sox career on your first home game with a walk-off winner?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, just to get a win for the team, it's exciting.
Absolutely. Considering how things started, when you run into the wall, the ball pops out of your glove. That had to be interesting. How are you feeling? Any residual effects initially going into the wall?
Physically, no. Okay. No, I was a little upset I didn't catch that. I think I'm capable of catching that. Mm-hmm. So, I hold myself to a high standard with that.
So when you did come up in extra innings, what's the mind frame that you're in there, obviously knowing that if you can come through with a hit, you're going to walk off with a winner?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to do anything to win the game there. I know Derek's fast. I mean, that bunt was incredible, showing off his speed, especially with a cold catcher. High baseball IQ play right there. And then knowing that he's fast on second base, all I got to do is put it in the outfield. Just a single does it. Don't need to try to do too much.
And the last thing, I noticed just on your two-strike approach, not all players these days will necessarily be willing to swing ugly, if you will. But if it looks like, at least from my observation, that when you get in the dish, you're willing to just do whatever you can to make contact. Is that kind of the approach you take?
Yeah, definitely, especially with two strikes. I'm just trying to make contact. I've never enjoyed striking out very much, but and I'm trying to kind of hone in on the approach a little more. I don't care if it looks pretty.
Actually, I lied. One more thing, Tristan. Yeah. So right field, center field, any spot where you feel more comfortable, or what's your approach playing in the outfield?
I'm comfortable everywhere, I'd say. I like playing center, obviously, the most, just because you get more action. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's truer ball flight, too, a little more ground to cover. Mm-hmm. Running's fun. But the corners are also fun, too. I mean, like, yeah, I'm comfortable everywhere.
Okay, for real, last one. Getting your jersey ripped off, what's that like? I mean, that's got to be so cool in the moment.
Yeah, I think they were struggling to do it at first. I think I got lifted up by my jersey, but it was fun.
Awesome. Congrats, man. Great win, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of those.
Absolutely.
That was Tristan Peters, yesterday's hero, yesterday here at Wright Field. We'll do it again starting at 1:10 today. Sox fans, join us at the ballpark tomorrow, April 5th, as the White Sox take on these Blue Jays at 1:10. 10,000 fans, 21 years and older, will receive a Bobby Jenks, AJ Celebration Bobblehead presented by Binney's Beverage Depot. To purchase your tickets, visit whitesox.com/opening series. A little more on yesterday's game. When we come back, we'll let you hear from Derek Hill, Sean Burke, and Will Venable about the White Sox starting things out the right way here at home with a win yesterday. I'm Jeff Miller. This is White Sox Weekly right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
This is White Sox Weekly
on the home of the Chicago White Sox,
ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Hello. Welcome back. Enter the Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to win the Ultimate Tailgate. The winner and seven guests receive VIP access to the Minute Maid Spiked Tailgate and tickets to the Friday, May 15th game against the Cubs. You must be 21 years or older with a valid ID. To enter, visit whitesox.com/sweepstakes. Jeff Meller here at Rate Field as the rain is slowing down as we expected right now. Tarp still on the field, but again, weather forecast looks good for this afternoon. And in fact, it looks actually hopefully right around 11 o'clock. The rain should stop here at Rate Field. So that is what we're anticipating. But I will continue to keep you aware of what's going on, what the weather looks like. But again, it looks like we should be in good shape, according to the forecast, for this afternoon's game coming your way at 1:10 after the White Sox win yesterday, which no doubt Will Venable was happy to talk about. It certainly could have been different had the White Sox not come back with after the Blue Jays tied it up, but the White Sox were able to not just come back from a 10th inning deficit, but they're able to push across the game winner as well. Will Venable after the game.
Exciting finish. Yeah, it was a roller coaster game there. The guys continued to battle and played well there at the finish and got the big knock.
Talk about being able to take care of what the catcher was doing behind the scenes for Toronto, and you were able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't think that was necessarily the game plan to take advantage of a catcher who just got out there. We talked with Derek. Derek's got the bunting skill as a real weapon that we want to take advantage of. Third baseman was back a little bit there, and fortunately for us, he made a decent bunt, made a tough play on the catcher, and it worked out.
Was that all Derek, or did you guys talk about that?
We talked about that as a tool for him. Two outs, even running on third base. That's something that he's got in his toolbox and want to be able to take advantage of.
How about Peters just coming through in that moment, the RBI single?
Yeah, awesome. Tristan's been right in the middle of everything for us. He's done a great job on both sides of the ball. Really good player. He finds himself in the lineup pretty much every day here against these righties. To have that opportunity to come through was awesome.
Well, can you just talk about the lift for all those guys getting the win overall?
It was great, and really starting with our fans. Came out and gave us energy today and stuck with us through that end of the game there where, obviously give up the lead, you don't want to do that, and then to lose the lead and go behind, to have them be behind us and be in our corner meant a lot. The guys responded and were able to finish the job.
What do you like was able to about do? Bunting, Will? I mean, it's not really a thing that's seen as much in the kind of sabermetric era. What does it do for you as a manager for the team?
Well, it's just a different way to attack and put pressure on the defense. And, we've got to find different ways to do it on different days. And, we're not always going to slug. We know that we have guys who control the zone well. We do have some guys that can drive the ball. But to be able to have, Derek, Tristan, some of these guys, even some of our big boys, lay down bunts, just gives your offense another dynamic.
Talk about what Sean was able to do on the mound today.
Sean was outstanding. Obviously the first inning there, a couple doubles, was able to get back on track. Really good fastball today. Got a lot of swing and miss with it and just looked confident and comfortable and really threw a lot of strikes.
So did Grant. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, and he blew through that first inning.
It was incredible. That was the best we've seen him. Really impressive. I don't know what else to say about it. I'm not sure he threw a ball even, but everything that he threw was crisp and obviously very effective.
I'm not sure if you saw the announcement during the game, but Ozzie is having his number retired this summer. What do you think of that as the current manager on the former manager?
Yeah, well deserved. Ozzie's great. His impact on this organization obviously is great and well deserved.
What's the coaching point to Murakami on the throw in the 10th inning that took him off the bag?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I mean, he's doing everything he can to catch that ball. You know, obviously he was pulled off the bag a little bit. I'm not sure. I got to go back and look again at the replay. If he stretched early, maybe we saw that. I think it was in Milwaukee, maybe. We saw it earlier in the season also. So he's continuing to learn, how to play that position, and I think all of these are learning experiences.
That was Will Venable after yesterday's win. I should note you heard him asked about Ozzie Guillen. I was going to get to that. That also was the big news from yesterday's game. In between the top and bottom of the third inning, the White Sox surprised Ozzie Guillen with the announcement that he was going to have his jersey number 13 retired later this season on August 8th. I'll have more information about that later during White Sox Weekly. We'll also let you hear what the moment sounded like inside the stadium and on CHSN as Chuck Garfine and Scotty Podsednik surprised Ozzie with the announcement. So we'll play that for you. And then Ozzie also joined Len Casper and Darren Jackson in the booth later in the game to talk about just how important the White Sox organization and the entire city of Chicago has been to him. So we'll obviously celebrate Ozzie during the day today as well. Will talked about Sean Burke being really good. Sean Burke talked about the crowd yesterday being really good.
I thought they did a better job as I kind of got through the line a couple more times. I think that early on, I feel like I made some solid pitches. They were able to find some holes and some stuff. I think that overall there wasn't a ton of hard contact. It's kind of just one of those games where stuff didn't go your way a little bit.
I know Reese is newer and you guys haven't worked with each other much. Just how was the communication between you guys tonight?
It was good. I mean, I thought that Reese did a great job back there. I think, I maybe only shook him off a couple times. And, did a pretty good job talking the last couple of days about kind of my game plan and, what he sees in some of these guys and get on the same page beforehand.
Yeah, this is a super aggressive base running team. Just what was the kind of challenge of holding these guys on today?
They do a pretty good job kind of changing their looks up on the base path too. I think that it's a little bit of a cat and mouse game. Like, we've had some stuff in place to try to neutralize that, and they adjusted to that. So just got to be a little bit better at seeing that real time and kind of making those adjustments quicker.
Does it get more difficult against the lineup? They can foul off as many as they did tonight, not just against you, but against everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the style of baseball they play. Like, they got a lot of pesky hitters, a lot of tough at-bats that, every lineup's kind of different, where this lineup doesn't really have as many guys. They're going to, big power swing and miss guys, where they got more guys that are kind of, put the ball in play and go run, create chaos on the bases. So just trying to kind of keep executing pitches, like not really letting that get to you, and just keep focused on executing pitches. And, I feel like I did a pretty good job of that as the game went on, and just not letting that really get to me and just trying to keep making quality pitches.
You're one of the number of guys who talked about the optimism, the confidence going into this season. Mm-hmm. I get you 160 games left, but how would you describe what you've gone through the first two overall as a team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not how we want to start off. I think, we're capable of playing much better baseball than this on every facet of the game. And, the Brewers are a good team, so, we got to be able to make those adjustments and play a little bit better if we want to play up to that level.
That was Sean Burke, who was excellent in the bulk man role as he relieved Grant Taylor, who we heard Will Venable talk about, and Grant Taylor, again, was so effective yesterday. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 1 strikeout. It's a clean first inning to set the tone for the White Sox. He was so good that Will Venable's going to go right back to him today as the opener. So Grant Taylor on the mound against he will be opposed by Fluharty, a lefty for the Blue Jays, who is getting the start, as it will be a bullpen day for the Blue Jays. Couple quick notes about the White Sox opponent today, Blue Jays, because Alejandro Kirk had to leave the game. I talked about it. He did suffer a fractured left thumb on that play, so he has already been placed on the 10-day injured list, and obviously the Blue Jays are going to need to address that. They have already made the move for Brandon Venezuela to come in and be the backup catcher, as I would assume Tyler Heineman will get the bulk of the starts while Kirk is out, at least while this is the tandem. So Alejandro Kirk, not just a good receiver behind the plate, but also a really good hitter, good contact here as well. So that's a blow to the Blue Jays. Blue Jays also The reason they're going with a bullpen day today, Eric Lauer was originally scheduled to start today. He had a good opening start for the Blue Jays. He's a lefty. He apparently was feeling ill, so he's been pushed to Sunday. And the reason the Blue Jays felt that that was good, that was the best path for them, John Schneider, their manager, said yesterday, because they lost Cody Ponce to a significant knee injury in his first start. So the Blue Jays have been definitely hit hard early on with some injuries across their staff, to the point where they actually yesterday, as soon as the game wrapped up, announced that they were signing veteran Patrick Corbin to a one-year deal. So they will try and get him ramped up and probably thrown into the rotation at some point.